I'm here today for revenge. Last week I said I'm praying that everybody is prosperous and in health as our soul prospers. And then my body fell apart this week, you know. So Judy said, why do you feel like you have to be there? And I said, for revenge, you know. So that's why I'm here this morning. I feel a little bit like Peter in, I think it was Acts 5, something like that, when the disciples were warned not to preach in the name of Jesus, and they healed a man at the temple gate, and when they did, they got in trouble, and they were brought before the authorities, and the authorities warned them, again, do not preach in that name. And so when Peter and John get back to the rest of the church, they said, we need to pray about this. And they prayed, and they asked the Lord if he would hear their cry, and what he had done that got them in trouble, would he do it again? Which is meaning more trouble. I don't know. But I am here today to say that I am praying that we prosper and are in health, even as our souls prosper in this coming year. And I just think it's good for us to declare these things. Do you guys have heat back?
Yes.
You have heat. Praise God. Awesome. So good to hear. Amen. So the thing about it is that every time I hear someone say this thing about prospering and being in health, I feel like it's right before an offering, you know. And I don't know, I'm just a little leery when people start saying things like, you know, well, like this. If you give, it will be given unto you. But I'm just going to remind you that it was actually Jesus who said this first. And Jesus actually had something in mind more than finances. But it includes finances. I don't want to eliminate that. You know, the challenge is that sometimes we've heard scriptures and being applied in a certain kind of way, and we start to think one-sided or one dimension. But I'm going to go back to this prayer that John prayed. The Apostle John, who was the last of the living apostles that had walked with Jesus, he had outlived them all. In fact, by the time he wrote this, it is very probable that the Apostle Paul was also gone. You know, Paul said he was an apostle, but he was brought in like out of season. He didn't get to walk with Jesus, but he did get to meet him in a very powerful way. So John is, he's gone from, if you remember in the Passion story, the Last Supper, John leaning back on Jesus, he can hear the heartbeat of God. And in the Gospel of John, John has Jesus saying, the disciples said, what about this guy, John, you know? You're talking about leaving us. What about him? In other words, they recognized that John, probably the youngest of the disciples, had this affection for Jesus that was stronger than the others. Now, don't think that weird. We all have varying degrees of affection. And we have no idea why John, one of the sons of thunder, just was so enamored with Jesus. And the disciples were rebuked by Jesus, and he said, if I want this one to live until I come again. What is that to you? And John says, people misunderstood Jesus. They thought he was saying that John wouldn't die. Well, he outlived them all. But he did die. And actually, on a couple of occasions, they tried to kill John. That is the people who opposed the cross. And church history says that he survived every attempt to kill him. And so now he's gone from leaning on Jesus to having this revelation, the book of Revelation. He's seen his friend resurrected, crucified, resurrected, ascended. From leaning on him to seeing him in his resplendent glory. Now, I'm curious why a man at the end of his days would say, listen, before the Lord takes me home, here's my prayer for you. I pray that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Then he goes on to say about, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children abide in the truth, you know. So, I'm just thinking that any wish that I have for you, which is, my wish and prayer for you is very large. Everything that Judy and I have experienced, we want you to experience that and more. All that we have hoped and dreamed of, we want you to have that and much, much more. And, by the way, if you're worried if I'm contagious, let me just tell you that I was thinking more like you can't give age away, like that. The number one cause of death is too many birthdays. Be careful of all those birthdays. That's what you got to watch for, at least in this country, But I'm just thinking, here is John who's seen it all, and he says, beloved. And that meant something. He's the apostle of love. I pray above everything else. There's so much to pray about. There really is. Everything that was said here today about the world that we're in and the admonition to keep yourself stirred, and it's also true. So much has gone on. I mean, of all the things we could pray about today, if we just said, let's sum up the week of prayer into one thing, I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go with it for the year. I'm praying, above all other things, that you and your families would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So there's this connection between what Jesus is doing within us and what happens around us, right? So the gospel, when it's preached in any culture, doesn't matter what their financial situation is, doesn't matter what the economics of the country, you can be in a slum. And anyone hearing the gospel can be saved, freely. But it's amazing that even in slums, when people accept Christ, that even if they don't escape the slum, in time, their situation is better and more advanced. It's been proven over and over again. But that's not shouldn't be so much of a surprise to us, because God actually said, now if you love me with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind and your strength, then I will be with you. I will dwell among you. And as I do, you will prosper, and I'll make a distinction between you and the rest of the nations. So, but when you prosper and are advancing, don't forget me. So they got the prosperity part, and they did better, and they grew, and they prospered. Finally, they had a king, and they had a temple, and everything that was promised to them to that point in time. And yet, they forgot God. So the way to not forget God is by giving. So the point of what I feel the Spirit leading us into is recognizing that giving is key to everything. But I don't mean it's the key to getting everything. It's the key to everything. It really is. But you have to take this verse and then the one that I quoted just a while ago, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. We have to take that in context. And the context was, if you will judge not, you'll not be judged. If you condemn not, you will not be condemned. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. And if you give, it will be given unto you. So what Jesus is actually doing is he's trying to not just save hearts. That's a part of it. That's going to require him going to the cross. But he's trying to change the culture, change the climate. And I want to show you the power behind that. And let me just, there's no secret really. It's the power behind the running over part, the given unto you. If you give and it's given unto you and it's running over, that running over part, that power, like in the next verse he's going to say, with whatever measurement you use, it will be used to you. So if you use a small measure, you get a small measure back. You use a large measure, you get a large measure back. From God, that is. You know, so the power behind it is actually the Holy Spirit. The power behind the mystery of giving, and it'll be given unto you. And I just, can we just forget finances for a minute? I mean, I'm not here talking about finance. Okay, what does it take to not judge someone? When it's so obvious in front of everybody sees it. Oh, it takes a certain measure of grace. As a believer, have you received a certain measure of grace? Oh my gosh, grace, where sin abounded, grace much more. I mean, you know, this Saturday I get to teach Romans. So I'm warming up right now, Randall. The whole book of Romans in a day, in a ministry class. Anyway, aside, how much grace has been given to you? Okay, so if I see a person who clearly is turning my knobs, pushing my buttons, tweaking my nose, yeah, jerking my chain, I've got an option in front of me. And the option is I can withhold the very thing they need, which is grace, or I can give grace. So if I withhold the grace, I'm only left with judgment.
That is so good.
Or condemnation. I mean, you know. And if I back up a couple of verses, Jesus said, I don't ever forget this. Your Father in heaven is good to all, kind to everyone, to the loving and the unloving, to the thankful and the unthankful. So in that context, and when I say giving is key to everything, we established last week, this is Jack Hayford's phrase. You know, what a wonderful man of God. He wrote a book called Giving, Key to Everything. And I found that book. You never guess what. Just take a guess. Where did I find this book? All right. You're wrong. I found it in Carlisle at the Army War College. Right. I was there to work, and they had a library of books that they were cycling out. And I'm looking through it, and I see Jack Hayford, and I picked up the book and says, Giving, Key to Everything. And I'm like, I'm going to take this thing. And I took it, and I started to read it, and I can't remember why it was. I think there was someone in the hospital. They were really down and discouraged. And it was the only book I had in the car with me or whatever, and I stopped it, and I gave them the book. And I said, here, Jack says it's the key to everything, you know, so I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to give you the book, you know. So I looked. I don't think you can get these things anymore. I don't know. I mean, maybe a download of PDF or something. We probably should get it. We probably should email it around the world. But anyways, he said it's key to everything, and I was just a little hesitant to think that Jack knew what he was talking about, because after all, he's only Jack Hayford, you know, president of King's College and Church on the Way, Van Nuys, a powerful, powerful move of God, Foursquare Gospel. Oh, God bless him. We miss him. Anyway, I'm using his phrase. By the way, William, this is how plagiarism happens, you know. First of all, you say that Jack Hayford wrote this book, and he said giving is key to everything. And then later we say, someone says giving is key to everything. And then later we say, as I've always said, giving is key. Wouldn't do it intentionally. But anyway, I like it. I'm going to stick with it. But the more important thing is that in Luke chapter 6, if you read it from front to back, and I've got copies of the whole chapter printed out back there for you, but today we're just going to look at a couple of these verses. So there should be a paper nearby you. And in Luke chapter 6, verse number 27, Jesus goes for the jugular vein. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. A lot of people who get blamed for being prosperity preachers probably aren't really guilty of that. It's just a lot of times we're just guilty of taking something out of context and shouting it. So that's why I'm giving you the context here. And in context, like no one in their right mind would try to get you to sign up for their books, their tapes, their videos, and their teaching series if you started with love your enemies. I'm just telling you. You have to start with the give, and it'll be given unto you. That's going to get people's attention. But Jesus, not to be outdone by Elijah, who wanted the fire to be watered down, so if this happened, it was truly of God, he said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus practice these things? He practiced every one of them. Can I ask you a question? Can you do these things without Jesus? Not consistently. Not your first reaction is to throw yourself on a hand grenade, which is what Annie was telling us about the Marines and how they train people. You, after a while, you act, you don't think, you know. We respond to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God. So it there should be this instant connection. There is precedent for what I'm faced with right now. There's precedent in Scripture. There's precedent in my history. There's precedent for all of this. And react quickly. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. He borrowed that from John the Baptist. You know, people came to John the Baptist. What should we do? If you're repentant and you have two coats and you see someone who needs a coat, you can only wear one. Keep the one you got. Give them the one you can't wear, you know. By the way, that's 50% giving right there, you know? Right? So let's not do the numbers. Let's not do the maths. Let's just do the giving. Right? Come on, folks. I'm getting over a cold. I might be on some drugs yet. Don't mess with me. I'm serious about this today. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. That's like someone breaking in your car and you catch the guy in the alley and say, hey, look, I have another car. Do you want to break into it too? You know, it doesn't make sense. The math is not there. This is love beyond reason. This is unreasonable, self-denying, sacrificial giving, which we know nothing about. But if you love those who love you, what credit? Now, I'm going to just borrow that little phrase right there because it turns out that that word credit, there we go. The Greek word for charis is grace in English. Okay. The book of Romans, you know, we have received salvation as a gift. Charis. What gift, what credit? If you love only the people who like you, is there any grace released in that? No. You love someone who is just like you, who thinks just like you, who agrees with you, who thinks just like you, someone who's probably your friend. And the reason is because there are natural groupings. We don't naturally group with people who disagree with us. We don't naturally group together with people who don't think like us, or act like us, or process like us, or like the same kind of art or music. Generally speaking, you can't get people to migrate together who have unnatural connections. So here's the deal. Jesus is the connection. So when this is going to be a giving grace revolution that Jesus is announcing. He's going to be the first one. Well, actually, his Father was first. The Father gave. He so loved the world. He gave Jesus, his Son, the best in all that he had to offer the world. And then Jesus is going to give his life, his blood for us. And then what he's going to say is, now I'm going to ask you to lay down your life for me. And so what's going to happen is he's going to put us in unnatural groupings. Like eventually it's going to be Jews with Gentiles. Jews with Gentiles. Males and females. People who are bound or slaves, and those who are free or owners of slaves. We haven't even gotten into races and cultures and all that sort of thing yet, but it is absolutely essential for the body of Christ to make Jesus not only the center of our worship and not only the savior of our souls, but he is the very glue that holds us together. Because we might vote differently from each other. We might have varied backgrounds from one another. You know, in a service like this, we could have a former, someone who, let's say, made commerce by drugs and alcohol. And you could have a policeman. You know, these two are not going to trust each other's agape, you know? Listen, I'm trying to change culture too, because what you dream of in the church is what God has always dreamed of. What you long for to see in the church, God still longs for. And more than that, Jesus died for it. So he's like, okay, here's we're gonna get a shovel and we're gonna go for the root. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna start with giving. Not where I was started. How about you? I mean, you know, I would have gone with faith or love, you know. It's like, but we're gonna just like get to where people live. All right? So in other words, we're gonna ask the church to be more generous than the Jews had ever dreamed of being. Oh, can we just pause for a second? There is precedent for that. Turn your page over to Acts chapter 4, 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Soul prosperity. These were of one heart, one soul. Their souls were knit together by the Spirit of Christ. Someone say amen. Now the multitude of those who believed, now these are the people who just experienced Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and all of the beauty of everything that happened. And there were Jews in town from everywhere, all points of the earth. Jews had come in to the Passover. And they were there, I'm sorry, for the Feast of Pentecost. They're there for the Feast of Pentecost. And as the church was waiting and praying, the Holy Spirit gets poured out. It gets noised around the city, and people start flocking in, and they start accepting Christ as their Savior in record numbers. And guess what? The revival was so good, no one wanted to go home. No one wanted to go back to where they were. So now they have a bunch of people who cannot imagine life without this Holy Spirit, Jesus-centered lifestyle. No one wanted to go home. By the way, that's one of the signs of revival, is when the service is over and no one wants to go home. And, you know, the pastor's like flicking the lights on and off and saying, come on, it's time to get out of here, you know. They're lining up at the door, you know, whatever. Now, the multitude of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. By the way, I've seen that in my lifetime. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness. That's where we want to go, of course. The great power and the witness and the signs and the wonders. But don't forget about the sign and the wonder of the amazing unity that was occurring among these groups of people. And can I just up the ante a little bit? You had Jews selling their property and their lands to meet strangers' needs. How many of you understand how uncharacteristic of the Jewish people to give up their land for a stranger? Because their inheritance was connected to the land. By the way, the strip is theirs. There's no, clearly it's the Bible affirms the Jewish right to be in Israel. But you had people saying, but I give up my right to be a Jew and to become a what? They didn't even have a name for it. We say, well, they're Christians, right? So easy to say now. So easy to say now. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was on them all. Do you see that? Great grace was on them all. So all of this was fueled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus had opened the door, yeah? But the Holy Spirit is fueling the generosity. And unless the Holy Spirit is fueling the generosity in our heart, there won't be grace flowing. And if there is any kind, it's like I feel pressured. I feel coerced. I feel like you set me up to, you know, like, you know, you're just trying to take an offering or something. And I let's just go one step further. While you've got the paper right there, look at Psalm 133. There's precedent. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down over the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Jesus is the anointed one. Now we're talking not about Aaron, but about Jesus. And the oil of his spirit is running down from head to the body. I need you to stand up with me. I'm sorry. The grace of God. For those of you watching online, I know you're going to be leaving in just a minute, so I want to share this with you. never ever forget the cost of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, because nothing would change without the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus not only conquers sin, it conquers sinners. It not only conquers sin and sinners, it breaks yokes, it breaks addictions, it breaks afflictions and sicknesses and disease and poverty and neglect and racism and all of the isms in our world. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to break everything that holds us down, everything that holds us in bondage, everything that stands in front of us, every mountain shall be brought low by the blood of Jesus. Every valley will be lifted up by the blood of Jesus. There is no expanse of the ocean that is too wide. There is no depth that is too low. There is nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot conquer in your life, in my life, in the world. And his grace that was shed there comes running down from the Father above. He knows how to give good gifts. And with that running down comes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to come and anoint the head. And then it goes to the heart and to the shoulders and the hands and the feet and the body. And when there is a flowing of the anointing, the grace of God is so rich and so available. There is nothing that could expend the grace of God found in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood still flows today. Therefore, the Holy Spirit still flows today. Go back and read the book of Hebrews again and again and again. What was happening in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus and Moses and the mountain, it was good. But what God did through Jesus is better. There is a better priesthood. There is a better temple. There is a better sacrifice. There are better promises. There's a better covenant. Everything is better. Why go back to the old one? And so the Jews in that time, in the book of Acts, they just said, I don't even know how to be Jewish anymore. I just want to be more like Jesus. One heart with Jesus. Come on. I came for revenge today. Yeah, I'm telling you, there is no reason to be stuck today. There's a way forward. It's opening up your heart. Let the offenses go. Let the unforgiveness go. Let the hurts and the pains go. Let the blood of Jesus come washing over us. Let our pride and our prejudice, let it all go. Can I tell you how good the Holy Spirit is? Annie, I appreciated your honesty and sharing about you. You know what I'm finding out more and more is it started with an embarrassing thing would happen to me. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God would just like, you know, come out in tongues. Like, so I've just embarrassed myself. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to feel that. And so he just comes out, you know. And now what's happening is I'll remember something. I'll remember a time when I embarrassed myself. And the Holy Spirit would do it then too. How good is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't do guilt. He doesn't do shame. He doesn't do loathing and stuff like that. He does grace and love and mercy and joy and an overflowing river of joy. How many want the river to be flowing again in your life? I can see the heavens open above you right now. You maybe can't see it from where you're standing, but I can see the heavens opened above you right now. And I've got a picture at my home of water coming down over rocks and stuff like this. Twice, three times in my life in the Spirit, I've seen the river of God. And, I saw boulders the size of cars and the water just pushing it around like, little pebbles and stuff. And I just see the heavens opened above you and the waters rolling down. There's healing in this place. There's deliverance in this place. Everything you could possibly need can be found here today in the presence of God. Jesus is here to touch you, to refresh you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. Yeah, there's a battle coming, but he's got you. He's got you. That's all that matters right now. So, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come down and touch our hearts and begin healing those broken places, Lord Jesus. Begin healing hurts. Lord, begin healing and removing offenses, Lord Jesus. Father, I'm asking that the church would become like, a little uncomfortable because we find ourselves with people that we don't know that we really fully trust. But since you trust them, we will trust them. And Lord Jesus, we're praying right now that you just begin to bond us together at the heart level to Jesus so that we only have actually one heart, one soul, one mind. Amen? Amen. It's all I can do. It's all I can do right now. If you need prayer, please come. If you need someone to just agree with you, please come. I need a drink of water. I need to get a drink of water. But if you need to go, you can go. And we dismiss you in Jesus' name. But, giving is key to everything. Opening the heart. Because you open your heart first before you give. I have one over here. It's open already. Yeah, I'll get it. Yeah. Amen. All right. Come on. Let's just bless the Lord. Can we just lift our hands and praise him and magnify his name? Father, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I bless your holy name. And I pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you've been transforming our hearts and our minds, preparing us not just for a new year. You're changing the culture, Lord Jesus. You're transforming our minds. You're transforming our families, Lord Jesus. And we desperately need your grace flowing again in our lives, Lord Jesus. I need you more today than I've ever needed you. I need your testimony on my lips. I need your testimony in my heart. I need your testimony in my family. I need your testimony in this local church, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Father, we pray that you, Lord, I just know like it's like, what's the next step? It's just giving your heart, just opening your heart. That's the next step. And then just let the Spirit take you where he will. And then just begin to respond by giving. The Lord gave me an idea this morning at the breakfast table. There's a gift I want to give someone. I really want to do this. It'd be so fun. It's just the Spirit of generosity. The Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. You can just come and linger if you want to.